Welcome to Run, Build, Grow, the podcast that laces up its running shoes and dives deep into the heart of the communal spirit of running. I'm your host, Andrew Ware, and I'm thrilled to take you on this exhilarating journey where we explore stories that go beyond the pavement. I like to get the support stuff out at the top of the podcast, and so here at the top, I'd like to invite you to support. Find one of these ways. You can first start to support by following or subscribing, using your favorite podcasting app, or finding the podcast online at communityrunpod.com. When you're online, head on over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify, even if you don't use one of those apps, and rate and review the podcast to help others know how much you enjoy it. If you leave a review, I will read your reviews in the next podcast. I invite you to share this podcast with your run community as we grow on the run and beyond. And lastly, if you'd love another way to support the podcast, you can become a paid member of the Run and Rep Run Club with a monthly donation, or you can leave a one-time donation over on Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the podcast notes. Again, you can leave a tip if you love this episode and what is happening in it, or you can become a member and become a monthly donor to this podcast to help make sure that I am able to keep the lights on and keep these awesome episodes coming to you. So in this episode, I have Jake Jacobs on. Jake is the chapter captain for RWB Hampton Roads, and it was so amazing to get him on because one of the things that community and running really does is they help to build us up when we feel like when we have these big life transitions, and especially for Team Red, White, and Blue, RWB, as you hear us talking about, is they take military service members who are transitioning into civilian life and they build them up through movement and community. And you'll hear Jake and I talk about this, but we also talk about RWB Hampton Roads being a charity partner for the Shamrock Marathon. We talk about Jake's journey and how he got involved in RWB. So this is a great podcast. And this is a great group if you want to get involved. There's going to be some notes notes in the podcast notes. And so make sure you check those out. Links to RWB, links to information to their app and all that stuff. So if you're interested in being a part of this community, and it's not just here in Hampton Roads, but they have chapters all over the world. So without further ado, let's get into this conversation and hear from Jake. All right. Welcome in, everybody. Today, I am joined by Taylor Jacobs, but I don't know that I have ever actually called him Taylor. I'm pretty sure I only call him Jake. So I have Jake Jacobs on today. Jake, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Andrew?
I'm doing good. It is a little rainy here in the 757, I think, as you see. But, you know, we are hunkering down and getting work done, as we always do. If we get started here, Jake, what is your run community and what makes your community awesome?
Okay. So first of all, Andrew, I appreciate you having me on the show. I'm honored that you want to highlight Team RWB and what we do within the running community. And then, and also what you're doing here with this podcast is just a phenomenal resource for the Hampton Roads community. And I appreciate what you're doing with this. And then also what you do at Run Some Mo. I wish I could spend more time out there. But I definitely love all the opportunities that I get to come out to Run Some Mo. So I appreciate you and thank you for having me on today. Team RWB. So what makes Team RWB great? First of all, we're definitely not the best run club in Hampton Roads. And so I'm not going to try to claim that title. But what I will say is that we are America's leading health and fitness organization that concentrates on the veteran and military community. And so for Team RWB, it's all about community. And we want to bring people together. We want to bring the military, the guard reserves, the veteran community together and celebrate one another through movement. And so that is what we're looking for. We want people to get outside. We want people to be moving and we want people to enjoy each other through community and movement. And so that's what we look for each and every day through our membership.
And this is not like a Hampton Roads specific thing. For those of you who might remember back, and if you're listening, if this is your first episode, first of all, welcome in. But if you're here because of Jake, I invite you to go back and listen. But listen especially to episode one when we had Melissa Moser on. And Melissa talked about kind of her start in RWB in Cincinnati. So we're not just talking about like a local thing for Hampton Roads. I mean, you're the leader of RWB Hampton Roads, but this is a national organization that's doing a lot of amazing things in communities. Can you talk a little bit about the national build of RWB and what it looks like, and then the role that even you play leading RWB here in Hampton Roads?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I believe RWB currently has 92 chapters across the country. Actually, I think that's globally, but I think there is a total of 92 chapters for Team RWB. I have been fortunate to be the chapter captain here within Hampton Roads. Team RWB was founded by Mark Irwin, who's an Army veteran, and he got out of the Army and he wanted to see a veterans organization that helped veterans transition into civilian life better through movement, through the captivation of community, and help members with their transition from active duty. And through that, we have grown into the organization we are today that not solely looks at the veteran community, but actually looks at the whole, you know, military community, from military, the active duty, guard, reserve, veteran, and also all those organizations that support us as well. And so that has grown into the 92 chapters that we have today. And we have events all over the country. We have small events all the way down to our, you know, local run groups. Like today is a Monday, so I'll be at 1700 Brewing this evening for our Monday meetup at 1700 Brewing. We have events throughout the week locally. And then one thing we just finished, which I'm super proud of, is every year in the month of February, we have a challenge. It's called the Taji 100. And so what that is through all of Team RWB Nation, people come together and they challenge themselves and each other to complete 100 miles in the month of February. And so, so mostly that's running, but it's also endurance athlete, endurance sport equivalents. So for biking, you got to do 300 miles biking, and, you know, so you could do biking, running, walking, swimming, rowing, and to get there. So on our Hampton Roads team, we had 50 members on our team, RWB Hampton Roads Taji 100 team, and we got over 5,000 miles in the month of February collectively. So it's just great to be able to see all of that through the month of February, which is typically the hardest month to get people outside and moving, because typically the weather is not conducive to it, but still people were getting after it. And it was extremely humbling and so fulfilling to see all your other teammates, you know, going after their fitness goals. And for a lot of them, that's the first time they've ever accomplished anything that significant before in their life. And so there's events like that going on all through the year. And so we'll have the Old Glory Relay, where we'll start, you know, and I think this year I can't remember the route, but we had the Old Glory Relay where we carry the American flags through a bunch of different states across the country. The route changes every year. I'm not sure what the exact route is this year, but there's expeditions that the Team RWB does to get the veteran community together. You know, so there's a host of things to do to highlight and try to bring our veteran community together through.
And I mean, I think there's a lot to be said when folks leave the military and what their lives look like post-military career, because a lot of it is so structured. There's so much to the daily ritual, the weekly ritual, and all of this stuff. And there's even sort of that understanding of embedded community. You know, there is a community that is there. You're seeing them every day. And especially in the military, where if you're serving on deployments or you're serving in a very specific group or cluster of folks, that there is an embedded community there, that when you depart from that community, there definitely is an emptiness within that understanding and idea that I know, being, you know, my dad was in the military, but also growing up in Virginia Beach, seeing all the impact that the veterans community has when they leave the military. You talk about getting these people sort of this structure, this connection, this movement, these goals. How much does that drive your passion in being a chapter captain as you think about these people who are coming into the community? And I mean, Hampton Roads is one of the biggest military areas in the country, you know, so I think that there's a lot to be said there. So how do you bring that understanding, that passion, that drive, that community sense into your leadership as a chapter captain?
Oh, you're spot on, Andrew. And, you know, and as far as people getting out of the military, that is the one thing that people miss the most about the military is the camaraderie. And so that is one thing that we try to embrace within Team RWB, is to keep and maintain that camaraderie. And we are a very forward-facing organization. We want to honor and cherish those that show up to our events We want to welcome them in with open arms and applaud the effort that takes people to make that first courageous step to just show up. And as you're very well aware with your work with Run Samoa stuff, it's getting people there to begin with. That's the hardest thing to do. Once people have the courage to make that first step to show up, everything else is great. And I don't know if I can recall a time where somebody came to an event and they, you know, got to break a sweat and got to talk to other people that they left and be like, you know what? I really wish I hadn't done that. I don't think I've heard anybody say that. What I hear over and over again is like, I'm so glad that I didn't allow myself to not show up today. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that I showed up. I put forth the effort and I just came the first time. And then the first time leads to the second time, and the camaraderie builds and then relationships grow and, you know, and the community gets stronger through that, you know, and so. And then also taking that a step further as far as the military and leaving the military, a lot of people leave the military. And one of the requirements of being in the military is to maintain a certain level of physical fitness. And so everybody who is a member of the profession of arms is also a professional athlete. And so every year you have to maintain a certain physical standard to remain in the military. And a lot of people leave the military and that's the first thing they throw out the door. They're like, you know what? I don't have to do a PT test anymore. So you know what? I'm not going to. And then a year, 2 years down the road, they're like, I really miss having the structure and the discipline to do that thing. And now I need to get back after it. And so they do. And then they come back in and they, you know, join an organization like Team RWB, get that camaraderie back, get the discipline back, and start putting one foot in front of the other, one goal in for after the other, and continue to build and grow once again to be the best versions of themselves. And that's one of the beautiful things to witness. And it's one of my proudest moments as being the chapter captain of Team RWB is seeing the growth of the members who come to, you know, the events, and you see them set their goals, achieve their goals, and grow more and more every day as an individual.
And I think, you know, there's ways in which RWB even reaches beyond sort of the military community as you continue to connect, because it's not just connecting these, you know, brand new civilians to, you know, this idea of civilian life, but I mean, connecting them with other people around, showing them that they're not alone. What does the non, you know, retired military presence within RWB look like?
And so I would say, you know, totally within Team RWB, probably only half of our membership has any military background, period. Probably about half of our membership are people that just have a great respect and appreciation for the military and want to be a part of that. And so they join Team RWB just because they believe in what we believe in and also want to help the veteran and military community as much as they can. And then the other flip side of that is also the active duty military community also likes to be a part of that, so they can also see beyond where they currently are within their military career and being able to socialize with the other branches of service. Socialize with people that are in the Guard, Reserve, or the active duty, or that have already separated or retired. It is also a even broader, you know, networking opportunity for, you know, people that are still active duty. So it's a great opportunity for people just to socialize, get to know each other, and start to grow beyond their own segment in the military or veteran community.
Well, and I wonder how much those active duty folks that are participating almost helps, you know, when they move closer towards retirement, to know that maybe there is passion and joy in stuff like, you know, physical fitness after retirement, even though you're not required to do your regular standard PT tests. But now this is, there's joy beyond it, right? I think we look at folks like high school athletes, even professional athletes, you know, you look at the military, where a lot of this fitness is almost mandated just by the sheer fact of, you know, whether it's salary or position or whatever. And you want to hope that once those days are over, and I definitely think about this from, say, like the running side of, you know, if I was a professional runner, if I ever retired, I would hope that the joy and passion of running would still be there. And I wonder if for our military, who, you know, they are required to do these PT tests, a lot of them may find joy in working out and in movement and all of these things. And so I wonder how much that connection with the active duty helps post, because they can see a community that even once they retire from the military and they're not required to be, say, quote unquote, physically fit anymore as they were in the military. I wonder how much that drives that passion and say, like, man, look at this community. They're really getting after it. They're really doing a lot of stuff to not just build that sense, but to say, like, hey, I'm not going to lose the passion for wanting to be physically fit, even when I don't have the sort of responsibility of my position to do it as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's absolutely the truth. I mean, so there's, you know, you got to think of, you know, the competing priorities and be like, you know, and so what you do is, you know, it is our goal to change the focus. And so turn it into something that is going to build people up and bring them together and grow them and want to build the community and do those things, as opposed to this is a task that I must accomplish. And once I accomplish this task, I can move on to a different task. And, you know, and so instead of looking at it as, okay, so I got to do this PT test. If I don't do this PT test, there's no negative repercussions on my career. Flip that the other way and say, okay, so now as a part of this greater fitness journey, if I want to be the best version of myself, you know, these are the things that I must do to help myself be there. And I know through movement and interaction with community, that is going to make me a stronger, more resilient, a better person, so that I can also better serve those around me through engaging in these activities. And so that is the type of view we like other people to have with respect to, you know, fitness and community and camaraderie. And that camaraderie builds competition, and that competition grows relationships. And then we all continue to grow through that journey.
And so I want to explore your journey for a little bit. You know, what got you interested in RWB to the point of wanting to put so much, you know, of your fitness journey behind it? Because I mean, like, and for those of you who may not be familiar, you can go to almost any race, go to any race in Virginia Beach and see an RWB presence. But it is hard to see an RWB presence in Hampton Roads without its awesome chapter captain, Jake, there supporting, cheering on. So I'd love to dive into your journey a little bit. Where did your running fitness journey begin? Where did your journey with RWB begin? You know, I think our listeners have to assume that you are, you know, connected to the military in some way, shape or form. But let's dive into who Jake Jacobs is for a minute.
Okay. So first of all, thank you. I do appreciate it. And I love being out in the community. I love being out on the races and I love seeing all the Eagles out there. And you're absolutely right. Hampton Roads is a great spot for the military community. And Hampton Roads has always been the most gracious of hosts for our military and our veteran community. And it is such a joy to be a part of. But looking at me personally, I was never a so-called runner. Running was an ends to a mean. I was always athletic. I always participated in sports. I always, you know, did things, but running was a function of the sport, not the sport itself. And that continued when I joined the military. When I came in the military, I would be on the rec sport teams, whatever sport team I could be on, I would be on that sport team. But running was a function of the sport, not the sport itself. In 2009, I was in the military. One of my functions was to jump out of perfectly good airplanes. And I did that. And then in 2009 was my final jump out of an airplane where gravity won. And I had a birch fracture in my L1 vertebrae. So that ended my parachuting career. But it also made me think very carefully about what my future fitness career looked like as well. And some of the doctors and stuff said I would never be able to run again. Those days were behind me. So I had to think about new things to do. And I was like, well, we'll see. And that's where the running really kicked off. And so I took my new body with the less capable than it was before and said, how can I maximize this to the best of my ability? So I went in and I started doing research. I started figuring out how to run most efficiently. I figured out how to better take care of myself. And that's where my running journey actually began. And I think it was probably 2011 or 2012 when I ran my first marathon. And then, and basically I've been running ever since. So that's what really got me into running, but I never did track in high school. I never did track anything other than that. It was always through other, you know, recreational sports and the military lifestyle that I had led all the way up. And then, you know, and so I retired from the military 4 years ago. I retired in 2020 after 29 years of service. And I had the great fortune of being able to serve all over my country, doing all kinds of awesome things and guide, mold, and mentor and shape the future of the force that we have now in the Air Force. And, you know, and so, and through that, it has given me an appreciation for what the military member is, what they bring, what they represent, and, you know, and the dedication that they have and that they want. And what I want to see is that to continue to grow through the military and then post-military also, when that person becomes once again a part of society at large, to see that greater capability come back into, you know, the civilian world, where that's Hampton Roads or wherever, as such a greater asset to the community as a whole once they, you know, leave government service, and also while they're in government service and military service, to still continue to grow the community that they are currently living in.
Wow. So, I mean, it really sounds like, you know, you represent and embody exactly the purpose and role that RWB was meant to be about, right? I mean, we see all sorts of different, you know, types of people who end up joining the military. And, you know, we hear about they're getting into this, you know, activity and movement. And especially for someone who experiences an injury like you did, to be able to have a place like RWB that can welcome you in and give you the space to move. And, you know, knowing from my experience with you all, you know, move at your own pace. There's one of the things that I love about RWB is there's never any judgment within how you move. And you guys run the gamut of just anybody and everybody coming out and joining you and being a part. Not even just, you know, welcoming people into RWB, but making your presence known, you know, all around the community and being an embedded part, so much so that, you know, actually J&A Racing, and with Shamrock coming up, and, you know, I love, as an ambassador of J&A, you know, focusing on these stories, so much so that RWB is one of the partners for the Shamrock Marathon. Explain a little bit about kind of how you know, being a community partner in that way, you know, what did that process look like for you? I mean, we don't need the details and specifics or anything, but, you know, that's something pretty cool to be one of the communities that really gets highlighted in this process of putting on races, of being a part of it, you know, and it becomes more than just run Club Alley or, you know, work in a water station or, you know, being present at the finish line. But what does it mean for you to be one of these community partners for J&A and for Shamrock and such an awesome race?
Well, I tell you what, you know, J&A Racing has been one of the biggest advocates for Team RWB for as, you know, long as I've been involved in RWB here in Hampton Roads. And, you know, and I cannot say enough great things about Yuri and Amy Frostick and all the work that Team J&A put into, you know, not only the local community, but also what they provide for Team RWB. It is a very warm, welcoming landing spot for Team RWB Nation. And I am super proud that we are one of the premier charities for the Shamrock Marathon. We are super looking forward to what we're going to bring for the Shamrock Marathon. What we currently have lined up is we're going to be at the expo for as long as the expo is open. Team RWB Nation is going to be there to hopefully come by and say hi to us. We're going to be out at all the events. We'll have runners, of course, at the 8K, the half marathon, the full marathon. We're going to have a presence at the Hero Hut inside the tent. So, you know, the Hero Hut has graciously offered to us a reserve table inside their hut. And then also we're going to be hosting the Mile 6 water stop going right onto Fort Story. And as you're very well aware from your time doing the Shamrock as well, that is a pretty desolate part of the course. And so when people see, you know, that water stop as they're getting ready to go into Fort Story, you know, it's like, okay, we're getting ready to start having fun. And so it is our intent to make that water stop energetic and have people out there yelling, yeah, and screaming and supporting the 22,000 plus runners that are going to be out there and honoring their achievement and representing Team RWB and, you know, and helping JNA Racing as much as we can to put on such a phenomenal event. Yeah. Anybody that has been down here for Shamrock, the Shamrock Marathon is, you know, the pinnacle racing event in Hampton Roads, in my personal opinion. And there is no bigger, you know, running festival, I would say, for the Hampton Roads community than the Shamrock Marathon. And it is so nice to see the entire country come in for that race and see what a phenomenal job Gary, Amy, and the rest of Team JNA do to put on such a phenomenal event to honor the, you know, America's, you know, running community. So I'm just very grateful that we get to be a part of that.
And so your water stop, and if I'm remembering the course correctly, it is on Fort Story. And for our listeners who haven't run Shamrock or going to run Shamrock, you know, I will say, having, you know, I did the half last year. I did the full back when it was reversed, and you went through Fort Story at the second half of the marathon. You know, it can get really lonely only because of how difficult it is to actually get on military bases in the United States. They're not just letting people into Fort Story. I mean, they're letting the runners in, obviously, not without a big, you know, military police presence, I might add, which I do also love. You know, the military police who are there at Fort Story, I mean, they're getting hyped for a lot of the runners. And so, you know, this is one of the empty places, of course, because it's just not accessible to like a lot of the community around there. And it's been really interesting to come back in and to see Jerry and Amy really looking towards a lot of these military communities of RWB, of, I think it's Ocean View Run Club has a large military spouse community, but just military spouses in general who are able to get onto these bases and help to support. And so, you know, I love that becomes part of the example that, you know, JNA have looked at the landscape of everything that's happening around them, and they're finding ways to sort of utilize these little things of, you know, we are a big military community, but we also have a big military community that loves and is involved in the running community too. And I think that's more the how y'all got this community distinction for Shamrock that I was looking for. I mean, I'm sure there are people in other places filling out the paperwork and signing the contracts. But, you know, the thing that I see, and I think the behind the scenes stuff that kind of happened, is you all literally being all over. Again, it's really hard to go someplace, to go to any race, to go to any run club, to go anywhere in Hampton Roads that involves running or movement, and to not see someone sporting an RWB shirt or someone who has been impacted in some way, shape, and form by the military presence in Hampton Roads. And so I think that there's a big connection there to recognize, you know, this is a community that offers so much to Hampton Roads, and the running community. And the thing that I try and keep in mind, especially as a run club leader myself, is making sure that those folks feel welcomed in our run community, because they can't always make it to like an RWV event. They can't always make it, you know, this place or that place, but we can welcome them. And it's almost as if, and I don't know, I can't speak for any of the other run clubs, but I know definitely at Run Sumo, we definitely try and keep in mind, and whether I'm reaching out to you, you know, I've reached out to Jen, Matt before he had his knee surgery and all that stuff, but reaching out to a lot of our RWB folks and connections and really working with y'all on a lot of these things. And so kind of as we wrap up this conversation here, this is kind of something that, especially for run club leaders, captains in your sense, what are your hopes? What are you looking towards, especially through the lens of RWB in the Hampton Roads community?
So what I would love to be able to see is us continue with the forward momentum that we have, you know, created over the past, you know, many years and continue to grow. And so, so you're absolutely right. As far as Team RWB, we are very inclusive and we welcome everybody, whether you are, you know, getting out and if you can walk 100 yards, come out, walk 100 yards. And then, next week, maybe come out and walk 110 yards. But we're going to honor you regardless. We're going to honor you for coming out there and doing the best you can, period. And then, you know, and then also to take from your own book, you know, when the first time I came out to run some Mo, I remember you coming up to me and you introducing yourself. I mean, and you were so warm and inviting and welcoming. And, you know, and we tried to do that exact same thing within TBAR-WP. You know, you show up and you have your red shirt on that you got for signing up, you know, and we're going to welcome and we're going to ask about you. We're going to try to get to know you, you know, figure out where you are on your fitness journey. And if you're like, hey, you know, I'm just getting over some injuries and, you know, all I can do is walk. Great. Thank you for being here. And, you know, come on, let's, you know, see what you want to do. And then what are your goals and build upon that? Now, what we would love to be able to see in the future is have a even more, you know, team leaders. And so on the chapter captain, we probably have, you know, close to a dozen leaders within the Hampton Roads community. And the Hampton Roads community is enormous. And, nice. And we would love to have even more, you know, team leaders within Team RWB. And so as you're very well aware, we don't have really we have very few events that are just Team RWB events. Typically what we want to do is we want to join everybody else's events and be part of everybody else's community as well. So, you know, the one tonight is at 1700 Brewing. That's put on by Point Two Running Company. And then, you know, Wednesday night, we're typically at the Tradition Brewing Company. And then the Tuesday night one is a Team RWB event only. And that's at the Casual Pint in Virginia Beach. But that's the only one where we're not like tagging on to other events in the community. You know, but we would love to be able to see all these other run groups have team leaders on there that are also Team RWB leaders that want to grow also through Team RWB in their own events to grow those events, you know, and like, we're not a racing team, you know, we're not going to go out here and try to, you know, win a bunch of titles and all this, but that's not what we do. We are a community organization that is just looking to get the veteran and military community together and moving together and build on each other as a community. And as you're very well aware, we can all run and do things by ourselves, but we are never as strong. We're never as fast. We're never as capable as we are when we do those things with other people. And that is the beautiful thing that I see, you know, going out to these run groups and doing those, is that we are always better when we're performing together than when we're out there just logging miles by ourselves. And just like you, I probably get 80% of my miles by myself, but it's the 20 miles, it's the 20% of my running that I do with everybody else that is the most rewarding of all the running that I do.
Man, and I love that focus. And I think it's something that I'm appreciating a lot more as I continue to be a leader in the Hampton Roads running community. Is one of the things that we've done before with Run Sumo is we've gone to some of these races and we've said, hey, we're going to try and compete for the fastest run club, but we always rest on, you know, we want to be the biggest run club. Like, we just want to show up and show that, hey, here's Run Sumo. Like, we're here, we're going to have fun. And then we tell folks, you know, cause then we ask folks, we're like, oh, come red bike. Oh, I'm not very fast. Like, look, like I tell them, like, we'll worry about, you know, who we have running up front and we'll work the times. I said, you come out, you have fun, and let's show them what fun run clubs do. We show up and we enjoy ourselves. And, you know, that's kind of a lot of the stuff that we like to do for all of the races. And there's always space for folks who want to, you know, whether it's achieve a PR or go after some big goals, you know, there's always that space for that. But I think when we look at the broader scope of the community, it's about creating space for everything to happen and making folks feel comfortable. And I love that has become part of the narrative within the running community, especially here in Hampton Roads, as we all come back together, that we don't feel like I'm going to show up for this group run. Oh man, I have to hang with them at, like, you know, whatever insane pace. It's like I'm running with Eliud Kipchoge every time I come to run club. It's like, no, like, you know, come to run club. You know, you may have some folks who are out there dropping faster miles, but you know, you're also going to have a lot of folks who are out there just, you know, having fun and enjoying life and, you know, folks doing all sorts of different distances, different paces, different everything. And so, you know, I mean, I love that that's becoming a part of our conversation. So as we wrap up the podcast, I have a few end of podcast questions. So Jake, first of all, what is your favorite race distance?
My favorite race distance is the half marathon.
Okay.
And so I believe that the half marathon is that great distance where you can actually put forth a whole lot of effort and work extremely hard, but it doesn't beat the ever loving life out of you either. And so I love the half marathon, and, you know, I believe the half marathon and marathon are so vastly freaking different that they really shouldn't even share any part of the name, because a marathon is a absolute freaking brutal, you know, distance. And in my opinion, where the half marathon is extremely doable and you can put forth some, you know, good time, and you don't need the as much training as you do to try to conquer the full marathon.
All right. So I've been asking folks before what their favorite pre-race meal is, but I feel like I always get a lot of pasta and eggs and stuff. It feels like a little too stock for that one. So I'm going to switch it up. What is your favorite post-race snack?
Oh, let's see. Got it. But usually just the first thing I can get my hands on. But I will say, like, you know, if I'm doing a marathon or if I'm really putting forth a whole lot of effort, I am looking for that, you know, first post-race meal. And you know, and that's where I would go in. And I'm, you know, I want, you know, mashed potatoes and gravy, and I want steak and lots of vegetables. And that's what I'm looking forward for, you know, like a real post-race meal is something with mashed potatoes.
All right. So the last two were new. So Jake, if you've listened to episodes before, then you're going to get thrown off here. I want to change them up. What's something interesting that's happened to you on a run?
I'd probably say, you know, so interesting. I'll go with for an interesting piece, probably the most interesting run I've done is I had the great opportunity to spend, you know, a good bit of my career in Europe. One of the marathons I ran, it was called the Three Leandre Marathon. And so it went through three different countries, and it went through Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. Going through those three countries, what was most interesting just within that 26 miles is to see the varying cultures along those three different countries. And so I thought that was extremely interesting. You know, you go on one run for 26 miles and you could see the overwhelming different cultures within those three countries just over that short amount of distance. And so I always thought that was extremely interesting and is a memory that I'll certainly, you know, keep forever.
And then last question, because this is Run, Build, Grow, the community running podcast. So why should someone find and join their local group for a run?
And so it's to build a community. As I stated earlier, we are all better together than we are, you know, by ourselves. And so regardless of what your pace is, regardless of what your fitness level is, you know, get out there and get after it. And so, you know, just a case in point, I'm not going to mention any names because I didn't clear it first, but one of our members a year before last, he started coming to the run group and he was on a fitness journey. He was working to lose 100 pounds over the course of a year. And he started doing virtual challenges. He started doing some virtual stuff on the Team RWB app and then he started coming to the run group. And lo and behold, at the end of that year, he lost 100 pounds. I mean, and it's just a phenomenal achievement, you know? And so I would like to say that coming to these events, in addition to, you know, the diet that he incorporated, and also the CrossFit practice that he was involved in, you know, but also with that was also community. All that helped him achieve his fitness goal and made him a better version of himself. And, you know, and I'm so proud of the work and the effort and everything that he put in to do that. And, but that's what, you know, having the community as a part of it will help you do. It helps people achieve the goals to help them become the better versions of themselves that they desire to be. So regardless of what run group it is, you know, and also you can be members of multiple ones. And so like Team RWB, you know, we don't have any like allegiance or, you know, no compete clause or anything. You know, it's like you can be part of Team RWB and part of every other run club in Hampton Roads. And, you know, but I do think the community and being involved with other people make us all grow to be better in the long run.
What a great sentiment. So friends, hopefully that gets you out to join that group or that club. Jake, thank you so much for coming on and joining today. You have a good day.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for joining. And remember, make every mile count.